Happy Sunday to you out there. We're glad to have you come join with us today in our worship service. I want to thank Dr. Anderson, our senior pastor, for the opportunity to share a word with you today. God is good. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you now for this opportunity. We pray, O Lord, for anointing that you will use me to speak to your people, Lord, that we all will have a different mindset about unity when we leave this place today. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, whom we trust and commit this hour to. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm beginning a seven-week series on God's Got Your Number. And today I have number one, which stands for unity. We need unity. If ever in our world today we need to come together and be united, it's today, especially in our church. And so I want to concentrate on talking about unity in the body of Christ. Is it possible to be united yet being diverse? My text today will be coming from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as we all called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all. Notice in this one verse, we see seven times the word one, through four times the word all. There is unity in this scripture. But how does we as believers reach God's goal for the church? His ultimate goal is that we be united in the body of Christ. Yes, it is possible for born-again believers to be united in a world of division. Today, I want to show that God has never asked us in this unity to be identical. Harry Nilsson wrote a song called, One is the Loneliest Number. And that's true, depending on what you're talking about. In the world or in relationship, one is a lonely number. All of us desire to have relationships, whether it's a husband and wife, whether it's mother and father, a son and daughter, or whether it's the body of believers. We all want to be connected with somebody. So one is a lonely number. But when it comes to the body of Christ and God's kingdom people, one is an ultimate number. It is a number that we all need to strive for in the body of Christ. But what is unity? Good question. The answer to this question, we must first ask ourselves, what unity is not? We are not clones. Webster describes clones as a group of cells, organisms that are genetically identical in nature. To be united with one another, we do not mean that I have to look like you, act like you, talk like you, or smell like you. No, it doesn't. I can still be me, and I'm glad I can still be me, and you can still be you, and yet we can still be united. How is that possible? Well, we'll find out. You know, if everybody was like me, Bridgeway would be a pretty boring church. Unity is like a freight train. I remember taking a trip some years ago, before the pandemic, across country in a train. And as I was sitting there, I was able to look out my window because the train had stopped because a freight train was coming by. And nothing to do, bored to tears, I began to count each freight train. You may see it up here. Each car on that train. And I noticed something different. There are a number of different cars carrying many different types of material. Some were carrying coal, others carrying pea gravel, some were carrying tombstones, and yet others were carrying vehicles. But look this, they're all connected to one another. They were all being pulled by one engineer, all being driven by one conductor, and all headed in the same direction. The conductor was the intelligence behind the operation. His job was to get the cargo to its destination safely. One conductor, one train, many cars. Do that sound like something we know in Scripture? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Woo! Makes sense, doesn't it? What is the difference between unity and conformity? I'm glad you asked. Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the body through the bond of peace. God never asked us to create unity in his body. The church has never been asked to create unity. We've only been asked to maintain unity. This tells me something about the church. The uniqueness of the church is already united. God's already united, which we'll see today. Our job is to keep the unity. Conformity is behavior in accordance with social acceptance, conventions, and standards. The root word for conformity has to do with form. In simple everyday language, it simply means I'm a mold. You all a mold just alike. We don't want that, do we? That's not unity. What is unity? Unity is a state of being united or joined as a whole, like that train. The key phrase is to be joined together as a whole. I am joined to you with you because you are in Christ and I am in Christ. Whether you like me or not, I am still connected to you and you are connected to me. So we need to learn how to get along and work together in unity. The way we get unity is that we all learn. It's a process. Our purpose is a common divine purpose and goal to keep unity, yet remain diverse. I love Bridgeway. Bridgeway is a church of 52 ethnicities, and we are all together, but yet many diversities. How do we continue to be united while serving and functioning through diversity? It begins with hard work. There's an old secular song by Tana Tucker. It's Don't Come Easy, does it? Don't come easy. Keeping and maintaining peace and unity in the body of Christ is a hard but yet work that takes diligence and commitment. Notice what Scripture says. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit who enables us to do what we cannot do. It is an effort. The word effort means vigorous, determination, struggle, going against something. Question, who are we going against? Bible tells us Satan himself. Listen to what the word of God tells us. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone whom he wants to devour. Resist him. Standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of God, believers throughout the world, undergoing through the same struggles. Look at the action words here. Resist. Fight. Stand firm. It don't come by osmosis. It don't come by happenstance. It don't come because I want it to come. We have to fight to keep it because the Bible says a thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but I've come to give you life. And guess what? Unity. There's an exhortation to unity in this scripture. And we'll go back to verse 1 of this text, Ephesians 1. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What in the world does that have to do with this subject? Because it starts with verse 1. Listen now. The apostle encourages us as believers to act and live like who we say we are. The Greek word here, worthy, comes from the Greek word equal weight, balance and scales. In other words, my life should match the life of Christ. If I am living like a Christ follower, then I have to love you. And because I'm living like a Christ follower, my love for you will automatically maintain and keep the unity. I cannot be out of sorts with you and be in correct fellowship with Christ. It doesn't work that way. But if I'm in right relationship with Christ, then my love will be automatically for you. We'll talk about that later. The Trinity is a model of this great unity. The apostle lists six elements here that we should model. Here they are. Notice now the unity. One body. It refers to the universal church. The church is not divided. A little seminary training here now. The church is in heaven and on earth, the spiritual church. You say, well, I'm sitting here. Well, physically, we are here. But the spiritual church is here and in heaven, and it cannot be divided. Christ's going to marry one bride, not two, one body. Here's unity again. One spirit. We are all called by one spirit, not 10 spirits. The Holy Spirit is the one who regenerates and places how many? All believers into the body of Christ. He indwells all believers, not some. He empowers all believers, not some. Christ gives us a power and seals all believers. Unity, 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 one body. We're called to one hope. All Christians have the same hope that one day we'll finally be conformed to the image of Christ. I don't know about you, where you are now in your walk, but if you're in Christ, you will be conformed to the image of Christ. You say, wait a minute, I don't look like Christ right now. Well, of course, no, we're not. We are being what? Conformed. All. Some believers, not all. Unity. Next one. One Lord. Christ is our headship. He is a Lord over Bridgeway. No, he is Lord over Bridgeway, New Antioch, all of his true believers on earth. He is the head. Let me do a sidebar here for a minute. Since God is in charge, he has a right to set the rules of engagement. So since he is the head and Lord over us, then he tells us what we do. And we as obedient believers do what? We follow in obedience. One baptism. All believers are baptized. All believers are baptized in the body of Christ at conversion. Water baptism is outward symbol of the identification mark that we have received Christ and been buried with him in baptism and raised with him in newness of life. All believers. He said, well, I haven't got the baptism. Yes, you have. You accept Christ. You are baptized. You are placed in the body of Christ because the church is not divided. Unity. All. One God. How many gods? Well, many gods. No, there's only one God. One God and Father of all who are over all and in all. Let me say it again. One God and Father of all who is over all and in all. Let me clarify, his church. Now, he is supernaturally over the whole world, but talking about the body of Christ, he is ahead of the church. One. But now, let me ask you this question next few minutes I have. How do we maintain unity in the body of Christ in this lifelong journey? Remember I told you earlier, it don't come easy? Remember I told you that the enemy is fighting constantly to divide us because he will divide and conquer all kinds of schisms and isms and everything else in the church now? But how do we maintain, how do we keep this unity? Remember, God didn't ask us to create unity. Keeping unity begins with, here it is, ready for this? Me. Me? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It begins with me. I must constantly check my walk with Christ. If my relationship with Christ is right, then my relationship with my fellow man will be right. Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus said this. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and prophets hang on these two commandments. I can summarize the Bible in just a few short words. Love God, love people. That's the whole Bible. Love God, love people. That's the whole Bible. Right there. If I can't love people, then something's wrong with me. Because we are to love God and love people. Once you get out of self, I can see someone else. Once I become mature and mighty in Christ, having a right relationship with Christ, then the process begins where I can become an instrument of peace and not an instrument of divisiveness and separation. There are four fundamental principles I want to leave with you today to help keep unity. Remember, we don't create unity, we do what? We keep unity. Number one, humility. This is the opposite of pride and false humility. Humility promotes putting others first. Pride promotes disunity. A quote from our senior pastor just recently, while I saw a text he gave us, there is a thin line between humility and humiliation. We are not doormats. Being humble don't mean we allow everybody to walk over us. Keeping unity don't mean you become a doormat. It means I learn how to get out of myself and humble myself to work with others. Philippians 2:6-8 tells us how this is the best example, and Christ is our best example. Being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to or grasped on. Rather, he made himself of nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. Let me just put it in simple language. Christ entered into my world. Christ, now I'm saying this reverently, got out of himself, out of his kingdom. He could have stayed there and still God, amen? He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't have to come here. He got out of himself. He got out of his kingdom. He left his comfort zone, got into my mess because he wanted to understand who I am and who you are. So it begins with getting out of self and learning what your fellow brothers and sisters want and where they are. Humility. Secondly, gentleness. Gentleness or meekness does not mean weakness. This is opposite of being aggressive, rude, hostile. It's someone whose emotions is under control. Do not be like the pressure cooker. Allow the stuff to build up, not deal with it in love, and then you explode and tear everything up. Ephesians 4:15-16 says, instead, speak the truth in love. Will grow up becoming mature and respectful in the body of Christ, who is the head of the church. For him, the whole body, what? Joined together, held together, every support and ligament, grow and build itself up in what? Love. Unity, 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 all over that scripture. Patience. What is patience? Well, patience is a grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to not be so quick to give up on people. It is the act of self-restraint. You're probably seeing right now, there are some people in my life I just can't get along with. These people get on my last nerve. My question today is, do you get on people's nerve too? Patience is going the extra mile. Then bear one another. How do we bear with one another? Well, love teaches us how to bear up under injuries and insult. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, you are going to be insulted. People are going to make you angry. People are going to hurt you. I'm not saying that you have to just automatically, emotionally turn it off because you can't do that. But by the grace of God, we learn how to bear up under and forgive and go the extra mile. It's forgiveness with the idea of restoration. I release you of what you've done to me because I'm more concerned about uniting and being unified than my feelings. Do I deal with it? Yes, we deal with it. But we deal with it in love because the goal again is when we all finish with our conversation, our disagreement, our differences, am I united with you? maintaining that unity. Well, as we come down to a close, I want to share a couple things with you. Here's a solution for dealing with people who are hard to deal with. Remember, we all called to what? Maintain unity. If you do not get anything else out of this message this morning, I want you to get this. God asked us as his children to do what we cannot do ourselves. He said, "Ooh, thank you, Pastor. Ooh, because I know I can't get along with that person. They get on my last nerve." So that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you do not get anything, remember that. Remember, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities." Why? "That the power of Christ may rest on me." So I have the right, I have the privilege, I have the option of going to God and say, "God, I can't get along with this person. I can't keep this unity. But Lord, right now I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I confess my weakness, Lord. I want your strength to be manifested in my life right now so the power of Christ can rest on me." Then we can keep unity. Only by then. I am so glad that God didn't leave it up to my strength, because I would blow it every time. So, in closing, how do we tie it all together? How do we make it happen? Well, number one, get out of self. Get out of self. Do not, Romans 12:3-8 says, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." Does that mean you put yourself down, that you're no good? No. No, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but to think what? Soberly. We are somebody. We are all uniquely somebody. But when I get in myself, see, I'm the big problem, because by nature, we are selfish people. I've told my wife that sometimes. I say, "Honey, I'm selfish. I want it my way, when I want it, how I want it." But in the power of Christ, I can say, "Honey, we want it together." Amen. So get out of self. Number two, seek to understand others. Matthew 9:36 says, "When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them." Seek to understand others. That's a little bit of psychology there, because we begin to realize that I want to know more about you. Your welfare is important to me. I want to know how you think, why you think. I don't want you to change the way you think to accommodate me, but I want to understand how you think, because I understand how you think, then you can understand how I think, and we can come together, and that creates unity. We all are different, aren't we? Amen? We all are different. I want diversity. God wants diversity. Many parts of the body. But we need to learn how to communicate with others. Seek to understand them. Number three, mess up, fess up. That's Pastor Mitch one. I stole it from him. You know why I gotta fess up when I mess up? Because I'm gonna mess up. I don't know about you. So I fess up. Why? Because scripture tells me I am still being conformed. This old gospel song says, "Lord, be patient with me. God isn't through with me yet." So when you see me and I'm not all what I should be, tell me to go in 1 John 1:9 and fess up and realize we all still being conformed to the image of Christ. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. Amen. Okay, next one. Next last. Seek to be understood in love. Proverbs 8:13 says, to answer before you listen is like folly and shame. Put your listening ears on. There's a TV program, I can think of a name, Judge Judy. Always says, God gave you one mouth and two ears. Put your listening ears on. I guarantee you, my brothers and sisters, if we learn to listen more, we'll be able to understand what people are saying, where they are. So seek to be understood by listening. And then when you listen to people, then you can tell them where you are and where you're coming from. Because I want you to understand me too. But I got to listen to you first. Where are you coming from? What are your questions? What is your body language? Where are you at right now emotionally? And as I seek to know you, I can tell you more about me. And that promotes unity. Lastly, depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, we'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do some things. Oh, wrong scripture. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So is it possible to have unity in the church? Yes, it is. We have to work on it. It's hard work, take commitment, take dedication, but we can do it. But you know what? I'm going to leave you with this. What I talked about earlier, the unity is that diversity. And I don't know why you can see this down here, a few little crazy bottles I made. And notice, they're all together. And they all are different. But right now, they're unified. Are they clones? No. Is there variety there? Yes. Are there differences there? Yes. Listen, let me tell you before I go, though. I'd be remiss not to say this. Before I give you the final thought, it all begins in Christ. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got to come from unbelief to belief. You got to turn your heart and life over to Him. That's where it begins. We're not talking about a bunch of folk meeting in a building somewhere calling a church. Because I park in the garage don't mean I have an automobile. Because you sit in the church don't mean you're a Christian. Only people that can really have true unity in the world are born-again, blood-washed believers. Those who have confessed their sins, turned their hearts over to Christ, invited Him to come to live in you. And it begins because then that peace of God keeps your heart and mind. And that same peace of God gives you the ability and the strength. Now, for the first time, you say, wait a minute, something new in me. I can love you now because the love of Christ is in me. That's where it begins. But here it is. United we stand. Say that with me. United we stand. Divided we fall. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Bridgeway Community Church Sunday Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Bridgeway, visit our website at bridgeway.cc. To watch all of our sermons, visit our YouTube channel and make sure you subscribe while you're there. If you'd like to download sermon notes, just click the link in the description. If you'd like to take part in our 30th anniversary challenge, go to bridgeway.cc/30. That's bridgeway.cc/THIRTY. Thanks again for listening, and have a great week.